Amen. Joseph was in an untenable situation. He was between a rock and a very hard place. This was a man who was engaged to Mary. Mary was a young teenager. In those days, you were engaged, and then came this long betrothal period, and finally, your marriage. And in the middle of this, Mary winds up pregnant. This was extremely dangerous for Mary. She could have been stoned to death. There was precedent for that in the Jewish scriptures. And Joseph didn't know what to do. One night in a vision, he had a dream that said, Joseph, just marry her. It's okay. And so he woke up, and in a down-to-earth decision, down-to-earth obedience, down-to-earth love, down-to-earth lifestyle, he decided to marry Mary. And because of that, you and I celebrate Christmas today. If there had been no Joseph, there would have been no one to protect Jesus. And his chances of making it into adulthood would have been very, very slim. But he did, and he was there, and we celebrate Christmas. We celebrate Christmas, but the earliest Christians did not. For the first 300 plus years, the earliest Christians did not celebrate Christmas. What changed? I'll tell you what changed: the Roman government. Jesus was born under the thumb of a powerful, oppressive, heavily military government. In the year 66, there was a mighty revolt of the Jewish people trying to throw the Romans off, and for a couple of months they actually succeeded, but the Romans simply gathered their forces, brought their armies down, and wiped the Jewish nation into obliteration. They say that in the next 2 to 3 years that there were up to 1 million Jews who were killed. Jerusalem was wiped off the map. And with that, if you were a Jewish person or Christian and could get out of there, you ran as fast and as far as you possibly could. And using those Roman highways that had been built, the earliest Jews ran. And what happened when the earliest Christians ran is that they succeeded in spreading Christianity in places and ways that never would have happened otherwise. And so Christianity, over the next 3 centuries, in the heart of the Roman Empire, spread all the way up to the British Isles, all the way down into northern Africa, all the way into Western Asia, all the way up through Europe. But it was not always welcome. Matter of fact, a lot of the time, it was not a welcome religion. It went against the Roman religion. And it was very difficult to be accepted. Well, there were times of persecution. Even up to about the year 300, there were some very severe persecutions that were happening, even in the heart of Rome. What happened was a change in emperors. And Constantine came into power. When Constantine came in, he had a vision also. Just like Joseph, in the middle of the night in a dream, he had a dream in which the cross shone over his troops and led them into victory. And so Constantine woke from that, adopted Christianity, converted his armed forces, and stepped into battle with the cross emblazoned on his army. On his deathbed, Constantine became Christian, and the Roman Empire adopted Christianity as the official religion of the empire. That is what changed things. It was at that point that we began to celebrate Christmas. Why? Up to that point, Christianity had spread very slowly, very carefully, very methodically. But after that point, it spread like wildfire, and they had to figure out, how do we teach people who don't know about this? And what they decided was that what they had to do was to adopt other beliefs from other religions and adapt them to Christianity. Here's the example. We have a Christmas tree. Why would we have a Christmas tree? There is nothing about this in the biblical story, not one shred. But in the northern Germanic nations, this was a powerful part of the winter solstice celebrations. And the earliest Christians looked at the trees and how they became a part and adopted those as a Christian symbol and then adapted them by putting on the lights, by claiming this as the everlasting, the never-ending life of God, even in the middle of the winter, in the coldest and darkest of times. And Jesus came as the light that broke the darkness. We adopted, and then we adapted. Why was this important? Because people had to understand that we were worshiping a Jesus Christ who was killed, resurrected, and ascended into heaven. But that wasn't enough. In order to have that level of understanding, what they realized that they had to do was to have the concept that Christ came down. Before there was a Christ who went up, there had to be a Christ who came down. And this concept, it wasn't a new concept. It wasn't anything radical, it was just different, that said we celebrate God coming in the form of a baby. Now, all of a sudden, things became much more comprehensible. Oh, you mean God became one of us. Oh, that God had skin. Oh, there was this comprehension that said that's what we're about. Inside of this, what was so powerful in that third, fourth, fifth century after Jesus, as Christmas began to be celebrated, this concept that said God came in the form of a human spread to others in order to say, you also bear the image of God. If God came in Christ to be human, what that means is that you as a human also bear the image of God. This is crucial, crucial in who we are and what we do, in order to say it's really important for you to know that you need to reflect the love of God. You have been given the gift of Jesus Christ, and it needs to be reflected in how you live and how you behave. And here's what I want you to know. You are enough. You are enough. You have been given the gifts, skills, abilities for exactly where you were. I was a rookie pastor. I was in my first 2 months of preaching. I served two churches, and I came back one Sunday after the preaching at the small church, and I'm telling you, that sermon stunk. It was ill-prepared. It was ill-presented. It was not good. And so I parked my car at our house, and I walked across the alley complaining to God as I went to the second service and saying, I don't want to do this. I don't want to. No. I do not want to preach this sermon again. Don't make me do it. And this whisper in the back of my head said, okay, fine. Don't do it. Don't preach. And who else is going to bring a sermon? You may not like it. It may not be good. But right now, it's all we've got. You're on. And so I stood and I preached a second stinky sermon. But let me tell you, it was enough. It was enough. And I learned and I grew from that Sunday, and I became a better pastor because of that Sunday, and I learned to trust God more deeply because of that. It was enough. This is what I want you to know. You have been given enough. Just who you are. You don't need help. Enough. Now, in order to help us understand this, I want to introduce to you our actors for the morning. It's Logan Brewer and Jacob Brewer and Evan Rolls. Gentlemen, would you come? And they present for us a skit today that is called The Gift.
Hi, Carl.
Oh, hi, Tim.
Fine, taking a break, huh?
Yeah, well, you can't work all the time.
I'll say, mind if I join you?
No, sit down.
So you're having the chicken?
Not just any chicken, Tim. Carl is enjoying the chicken capabella, an enticing blend of sautéed chicken strips, steamed vegetables, and Italian spices, covered in a tangy cream sauce. When you say capabella, you do chicken right.
Wow, that was strange.
Yeah, he's me.
Who is?
The announcer.
You have your own announcer?
Yeah. Don, you want to come out here?
Why, certainly, Tim.
Carl, this is Don. Don, this is Carl.
Carl, may I just say that Tim thinks you are fantastic, a great friend, ruggedly handsome, a great guy to be around, super strong.
All right, already. He's new. He's an early Christmas gift from my mom.
She bought you an announcer?
She thought he might help me. She thinks I have a image problem.
Not just any image problem. Tim suffers from low self-esteem, coupled with an infuriety complex, rendering him incapable of normal social interaction. Furthermore,
that's enough!
Whoa, that's totally weird.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Does he follow you everywhere?
Just about. He gets a break every 2 hours, and he finally agreed not to follow me into the bathroom.
Thank heaven for small favors.
Carl, can I ask you a question?
You just did.
Huh?
Sure, go ahead.
What are you doing this Friday night?
Why? What did you have in mind?
I'm glad you asked. Carl, you and your friend will be whisked away in style for a fantastic dinner for two at Buffalo Wild Wings. But that's not all. After dinner, you'll enjoy your choice of several first-run movies at the AFC Downtown Cineplex. That's right. It's your choice of 20 air-conditioned theaters, each featuring 70mm screens, THX Dolby sound systems, and stadium seating. AFC is America's film choice. Back to you, Tim.
He's creeping me out.
Sorry. You want to catch supper and a movie together?
Well, Friday's not a good night for me.
I understand.
How is Sunday for you?
I can't. I take my mom to church on Sundays.
You go to church?
Yes.
Tim goes to church.
And you take your family? That's so cool.
Tim takes his family to church.
Could we go to church together? I mean, with your family too?
That'd be great.
Tim is a Christian, a sinner saved by grace, a fleshly loser redeemed by the blood of a lamb.
Don! Stop helping me.
Sorry.
Tim, I'm really glad that you were honest with me. Most guys are afraid to admit their faith. It's like they aren't strong or something. I like it that you are bold.
Thanks. Suppose I pick you up around 10 a.m. Sunday. Then we can all go to church with my family, and then we'll drop my family off at my house, and we can go to Buffalo Wild Wings.
Buffalo Wild Wings sounds great. Oh, but one thing, Tim. Can we make Don wait in the car?
Sure thing. We'll lock it, too.
And not just any car. Don will be freezing in the lap of luxury in a slightly used 2003 Lumbago family Chester. Lumbago, the comfort of a luxury car with the sensibility of a pimp. When you say Chester, say Lumbago.
Are there ever times when you feel that you're just not enough? You don't have enough. You're not big enough, smart enough, fast enough. You're not enough. Does it ever feel like you could use your own announcer, somebody to help you through life? Well, that's not how life is. And the cool part is, God has equipped you perfectly to be the person that you are. And have you ever stopped to consider that even your weaknesses are strengths that God can use? Even the horrible things that have happened to you in your life are things that God can use. You have been given enough. Joseph was given enough. You have been given enough. May it be this week that you live a down-to-earth lifestyle, simply knowing that you've been given enough to meet your day. In Christ's name, amen. Would you pray with me? Lord of love and Lord of life, fill us, complete us, make us be the people that you would have us be. For we know the love that you have poured into us. We know, Lord, that for all of our shortcomings, that you are simply there as the gift in our lives.